ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Your teams, our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Should the Astros mortgage the future for the now? What do you think of Crane telling Click, go do something? 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Rob, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. So you had mentioned that you don't want to tear down any of the current roster, and I have one exception for that. I don't really see it happening, but if you had to trade one of the young starters, either Javier or Garcia, for Luis Castillo, I think you'd have to take a look at it as part of a package, because not only do you upgrade the actual pitcher, but at the same time you keep him away from the Yankees or another one of your potential playoff opponents. So I see it being worth mortgaging after 23 to go ahead and get him on the roster.
I think it's a good point, Robin, because you have a surplus of starting pitching, even if you don't count Jake Odorizzi in that conversation, then you could do that. I mean, you're trading one mid-20s starter with more club control for a guy that's about to be 30 in Luis Castillo, but is better than Luis Garcia. But because you have the surplus in pitching, you could do that. I'd rather it be Luis Garcia, and I love Luis Garcia than Christian Javier. Javier has elite strikeout stuff that is unmatched. And to me, I'm not trading that. Like, I think he could be like a number, like an ace, like a number two. He has that sort of potential where I don't think Luis Garcia has the same upside as a Christian Garcia. Although you can make the case that Garcia has been more consistent than Javier, but I don't see the upside in Garcia more than Javier. So if you were to do that, Rob, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, I lean more Garcia than I do Javier.
I think that's true. I think that's right. I think that's accurate. And I think that Urquidy, he picked the right guys too. Urquidy doesn't have the value because of the medicals and the two different shoulder issues, so he's not going to play into it. Fromber's too good for you to give up on. So I think you got the two guys that teams would target, and I also think you were spot on in the fact that if you can get a Castillo and upgrade from the guy you're giving up, even if it is a Garcia, then it's definitely worth the risk, and it's something that you're not out of the running for re-signing when Verlander goes away and his money goes away and you have other things to do as you move on. You could still, you know, conceivably keep him as a part of your franchise.
Yep. He's got a year next year.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a bad deal.
Yeah, it needs to be more, obviously, than just Luis Garcia, so I'd need to see the total package. I really don't think that the Astros are going to trade for a starter, though. I think that they like where they're at with the starting rotation. They're not even going to really kick the tires there unless they can just get a bargain. Like E's asking on our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, doesn't everything change at the deadline if McCullers has a setback? Well, if he does have a setback, it better happen fast because the trade deadline is in a week. But I don't think it does. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Click operates any differently with this pitching rotation if McCullers has a setback, because I even without McCullers, you feel pretty confident with four starters that you currently rotation.
Of all the different areas we're talking about where they could possibly improve, the one position group right now that they would go to the playoffs with and feel extremely confident is starting pitching. You have a surplus. You have a ton of starting pitchers to choose from, but no matter which way you go and how you trim it down to the four guys you're probably going to absolutely rely on, you're in a better position than 90% of the league, because you've got guys that you know have confidence and trust in, can get the job done, and they've been on that stage before and performed well, to where that is the least of your worries for the here and now. Unlike, as I mentioned earlier, the years past when you were looking for a horse, when you were looking for another front of the rotation guy that could take you to the promised land, you got too many good starting pitchers right now to worry all that much about it. You should be focused on other things, unless the only way you keep starting pitching comes up is if you have to give up one of those guys to go get something that you need more.
Yeah, I think that like Luis Castillo is a very good name, but the defense too aspect of it I think is worth considering too, just to keep Castillo away from the Yankees. You know, I don't hate it from that point of view. 0830, which kind of leads to the same type of question. Who will be the most notable Astro that will be included in a trade package? I'll kind of rephrase this a little bit. Which player, anybody in the organization, that you think that the Astros would consider at the trade deadline to trade away for a bigger name that you could live with?
Hunter Brown.
See, that's I hate it whenever you go with the prospects, because I'm a little bit more of the forest than the tree, but I actually agree with Hunter Brown. I actually like. I think he has very good stuff. The command worries me a bit.
Well, and
I
know we've heard different angles of that. But it goes back to what I just said. You already have a surplus of young starting pitchers under team control. If there's one guy that you could part with that doesn't really leave an indelible mark on you, it's trading Hunter Brown.
Yeah. And what if he's not really, really good? Which,
right.
I mean, a lot of people are kind of torn on him. He's not, like, he's in a top, he's a top 100 prospect, but I think he's on the other side of 50 than inside the top 50. And I believe that he walks more per nine innings than Abreu does.
Here's my public service announcement, too, to what I've always said about when you are ranked as highly as the Astros prospects are ranked in terms of the number one pitcher and the number one position player. A lot of times within a year or two, the luster wears off, something happens, they don't have the value they once did, and now you can't get as much for them and you're not going to get as much out of them. While he's still hot, while he's still inside that top 100, and I don't care which side of 50 he's on, more teams than not will still pay attention and be interested because he's on that top 100, and you can justify it to your ownership, fan base, and everybody else that I got a top 100 prospect out of this deal.
Yeah.
You go ahead and make a deal for him where you have a surplus of starting pitching to better this team for the short term and the short long term.
My pushback with that is the Astros' philosophy is to build through the farm, and they've won with the farm. You know, Altuve, Correa, Springer, McCullers, Jordan, I think, is somewhat homegrown. Tucker, all of these young pitchers, Fromber, Javier, Garcia.
You also stumble upon guys that weren't in your top 100, that weren't those guys ranking-wise, but you find guys.
Those guys were in the top 100.
Okay, the guys you're mentioning, prospects. I'm talking about a Siri makes your major league team, and no one saw him coming. The guy you traded to Miami was a guy that just got red hot for a year in Sugar Land, and you were able to parlay him and turn him into Yimi Garcia.
Which isn't a lot, if we're being honest. It's 3 months of Yimi Garcia. And
but he also wasn't going to play on this team.
Who's that? De La Cruz?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't. And I mean, Siri was also a guy that bounced around. Like, they picked up the Astros, I think, were his third organization.
Right.
So, like, he's kind of a fringe player, although I think he's gold glove defensively. 0754, actually, it's Ryan. He says, you got to get a guy that does mound visits. We need that back. I don't disagree. I mean, the Astros can't survive without a guy that's, you know, taking charge and walking to the mound in critical spots. If they had a mound visit guy, Jake Overeasy has a complete game shutout yesterday.
Not unless that mound visit guy's allowed to punch guys. Just snap them into position to where they get their head straight and do what they're supposed to do and tell Jake Odorizzi to stop being a whiny little...
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, they needed a mound visit guy to snap that guy out of it. 6-0-3-0.
By the way, I'm here to talk to you about yesterday, though. That nail issue that he had that I dealt with yesterday, I'm telling you, it's painful.
6-0-3-0 says, you saw how the team reacted pre-Verlander trade. This is when Keuchel got kind of snappy about it. When you see management not make some serious moves when you're this good, morale suffers dramatically. This is what I find entertaining. Because I don't disagree with your point, 6-0-3-0, but you also have a good pocket of the Astros population saying that you can't mess with team chemistry and you can't trade a first base for a first baseman because it would disrupt team chemistry because now you're demoting Yuli Gurriel. So what is it? Like, are you suffering morally because you didn't make a trade, or are you suffering morally and dramatically because you're replacing Yuli Gurriel?
You also asked the question, do you want to be a player's general manager or a fan's general manager, or do you want to be a World Series champion general manager? Because that's the kind of decision we're talking about. Do you want to be a guy that everybody loves and is endeared to because you stuck with a guy that everybody loves and is endeared to? Or do you want to be a guy that pushed the right buttons to make the right moves to win this city and this team another championship and didn't have to worry and wasn't concerned at the time about how they were going to react or Yuli was going to react to being demoted?
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 9392 says, how about stand pat and do nothing?
You can still win, but the margin for error and the margin between you and the other teams is so razor thin that it leaves you more vulnerable. And you also know that they're doing what you're doing, but they got more money and prospects to deal with. Chances are, of the four top teams in Major League Baseball, you are the least likely to get impact players out of the trade deadline because they're all in go-for-broke mode, and they've got a bigger pot of resources to play with.
Can I highlight for a second? I think all of us, as well as most of Houston, would like to see the Astros make a move to get better at the deadline. But what, maybe a month, 6 weeks ago, we were discussing if they had to, and now you can seriously ask the question, like, would it be the end of the world? Like, I don't think it would be if they didn't make a move. I think that's...
Well, remember who told you that first.
Specifically, it was interesting how easily it rolled off of Joel's tongue that, like, you could still win a championship without it. And that's a debate we were having a month ago.
Yeah, it was. A lot of people have talked about that. You know, you must make a trade. They don't have to make a trade. That was a topic of conversation about a month
ago. I wouldn't
feel
as confident about this team's ability to win it all if they stood pat. But they've shown me enough in the series that they've played coming out of the All-Star break, the nine against the New York teams, and the other times that they've been challenged this season to realize I wouldn't put it past them. But again, the bigger concern for me is you've got the money flowing out of their ears and every other orifice in New York with both teams in L.A., and you've got a ton of surplus in their farm system that they're not worried about parting with in the blink of an eye. And they continue to add big-name players every chance they get the opportunity. That scares me because they're going to do something. I'm convinced of it. And in the Mets' case, they're trying to get out of the stepchild role. So they're going to probably be even more aggressive than the Yankees. And so that's why Click is trying to do things sooner rather than later. He doesn't want to get in a bidding war. He doesn't want to compete with those guys. He wants to get what he needs, get in, get out, and watch them fight it out.
I think we're in that window, though. I think we're in the window where it's already close, competitive. Yeah. 2662 says championships greater than Yuli, which is the point. Dre's asking us on Twitch, who's the four starters you trust? Let's eliminate Lance McCullers, because I think if Lance McCullers shows us enough in the rehab assignments, and then let's say in September, I think he would be in that rotation, and he would jump the number four guy. If he's pitching well, how would he not?
But I understand that, but those are some big ifs, because...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, let's just assume
it's
that
not just how he's pitching, too, but you had a young guy that... One of those young guys that busted his ass all year to prove to you he's there and he's ready, and
you
demoting
him... You going Arcidi over McCullers?
No.
There you go.
But I don't think so. But I need to know the health of Lance McCullers.
That's why
showing
I said
it in a small sample size is one thing, but he showed it. He was at top form to start the playoffs.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this a lot. He's got to prove that
he's
ready to go.
That's why I'm not counting on him,
right,
but I get it.
Let's go our four guys we trust the most if it's not Lance McCullers. It's obviously Verlander, Fromber, 1-2.
Yeah. Yeah.
The conversation you'd have is two guys out of three, right? It's Jose. Pick two out of three. Jose Urquidy, Luis Garcia, Christian Javier. I love what I've seen from Jose Urquidy after ditching the cutter, and he goes deeper into games than Javier and Luis Garcia do, which I value. So I'd probably go Javier Urquidy over Garcia.
I think my biggest thing is going to be if you don't do anything at the trade deadline in the bullpen, you got to have Javier in the bullpen. He has more value.
Who's he jumping in the bullpen?
Everybody not named Presley, Stanek.
Stanek is your fourth most high leverage guy right now.
I understand that right now.
Yeah.
I'm talking about playoffs as a different animal.
Do you go him over
It's
Neris.
Montero and Neris that, to me, that I want to say I have confidence in him, but I'm not there yet. But if I could add him to those guys and he could be the long guy, then I don't have to worry about a whole lot else with the other guys that we've been talking about all year. That's why, and he's been there and done that in the bullpen before, as opposed to asking a starter to do it that really isn't comfortable doing it. So that would be the way I would lean more.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
he was good in the postseason last year.
Yeah, because I have no problem with Garcia in the starting rotation in the playoffs.
I really don't either. It's you're in a good spot. 713-780-ESPN.
Did either one of us mention Jay Odorizzi? That's what I thought.
No, I hope he's on another team. 713-780-3776. All right, all that discussion. I have five targets the Astros should be looking at right now. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. And if you're in the market for a basketball goal, you should only have one target, and that's Proton Coupes. It's the best basketball goal on the market. They are the very best. Tempered glass backboard gives you that true, authentic feel, especially when you're throwing up some bricks. Adjustable goals for every part of the game. You can lower it down, throw down some jams, raise it up to regulation, work on your game, work on your shot. If you have a kid that plays basketball, he would love to have this so he can work on his game as well, he or she. Competition-grade breakaway rim. It's perfect for dunking. It's perfect for hanging. It makes sure to keep you and your loved ones safe. Another aspect that keeps you and your loved ones safe, especially me, an extended overhang, which keeps a clear path under the rim. You don't have to worry about spraining your ankle on a basketball stanchion. Durability of strength of ProDunk hoops. Their stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, and exclusive rust armor makes them sturdy and strong. And the best feature, they'll do all the work. They install the goal. The pros at ProDunk hoops professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't install it. Let the pros at ProDunk hoops do all of the work for you. ProDunk hoops goals come in a variety of sizes and options that are a perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real.
Let's go! fun sports. You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right. Major League Baseball trade deadline is in a week. It's like a 5 p.m. deadline, something like that. Anyways, the Astros have some money to spend. Dre's asking us how much money they have under the competitive balance tax. I think it's somewhere between 30, because they have about 180 payroll, somewhere between 30 and 40. Yep. I don't have the number off the top of my head.
So
in probably somewhere around there, in the low 30s, I believe, is the accurate number. But the Astros have the money to spend, which they can take some contracts and not really give up a whole lot, which is something like another avenue they could use their money to acquire somebody with a bigger contract that's expiring.
Did you see that Sal Perez is doing his rehab?
Salvador Perez?
Yes.
I haven't seen him mentioned at all.
He's going AAA rehab, I think, because, like you said, he's been hurt. So there's a lot of people that are going to question his availability. If he proves that he's back and he can play, I think there's going to be people that are interested in kicking the tires and see what they can get.
Yeah.
And we owe Paulie this. I texted Paulie about, did he really say that about Justin Verlander? And his response real quick was, I said four times during the segment, this is dumb radio July question, but who is the best Astro you could talk yourself into trading? It still doesn't make a ton of sense to trade JV or put him in that mix, but at least Paul clarified it for us, and I knew it wasn't how the caller set it up.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you could trade Justin Verlander if you're a winning team.
You just can't.
Yeah, so maybe he put some words in Paulie's mouth. So anyways, trade deadline is in a week. The Houston Astros are being aggressive. Crane telling Click, go get somebody. Click saying we're being uber aggressive. All of the talking heads are saying that the Astros are going to be aggressive. They're calling on a lot of teams. So I have a top five of Astro targets that they should be kicking the tires on. And should I go 5-1 or 1-5?
5-1.
5-1. Now, there have been times we've talked about the relief pitching on this team. I tell you all the time the Astros have the best bullpen in all of baseball, statistically. That doesn't mean that I don't want the Astros to trade for a reliever. Because like Mike Stanton has said, you can never have enough quality arms. And who knows what's going to happen between now and the postseason. Injuries happen. And let's be completely honest with you. Like, the chances of you having an injury between now and the postseason is pretty high. Like, you're probably going to lose a starter at some point or somebody who's a critical piece of this team before the postseason, and this is your last chance to really add to what is going to be your playoff roster. So I went reliever shopping for a couple of these people on the top five. Here's the one thing, though. When people say, I want a lockdown closer on this Astros team, that literally is not available on the trade market. You're not going to find that guy. You're not going to find an anchor, back-of-the-end bullpen closer that's going to be a 50-save type of dude. It doesn't exist in this trade market. But there are a couple that I think potentially could be that someday. The first one, I go to Pittsburgh. David Bednar, a 27-year-old righty. Think Ryan Pressly whenever you got him. Like, he was kind of unheard of. Now, Bednar does close games. He is the closer for the Pirates. 2.96 ERA, pretty good. A whip that's just above one, which pretty good. 12 strikeouts per nine innings. Only Christian Javier and Abreu have more strikeouts per nine on this team, but he doesn't walk many. Less than 3 walks per 9, which isn't quite Pressly or Neris, but it's better than Montero and Maton. 96.5 average fastball, and he's under team control for the next 4 years.
That's big. The team control part of it is where you got me.
But it makes him expensive.
Yeah, and that's for that reason alone, I think that I'm probably not as interested.
It's weird to me that you want a reliever, but you don't want David Bednar. He's the best one on the market.
I think there's other guys out there.
Who? Name one.
I already did. I've named it previously. I said Chafin, and I said David Roberts.
Robertson is not as good as Bednar. Now, there are a couple of honorable mentions I had on this list.
He doesn't have to be, though. He's a closer. He's a closer this year for the Cubs.
So is Bednar for the Pirates.
But he's had World Series experience. He's had playoff experience. He's a guy that's been there and done that. Okay, but he's still been effective. The Cubs, as bad as they are, they still have him as their closer. I think that you don't have to pay a whole lot for him. Just take his salary, and you can get him.
I don't think Robertson's as good as Bednar, but we'll disagree. There are a couple of lefties that didn't crack the top five that I do want to mention. Chafin's one of them. A.J. Puck, who made Yordan look silly last night, is another one of them. Okert from Miami, and this Mantiply, I believe is how you say it, from Arizona. Those are the lefties I like the most. Number four on this list, top five the Astros need to go after, Scott Barlow, relief pitcher for Kansas City. I believe he is the best reliever on the market. Again, think Ryan Pressly, kind of unheard of. You don't really know about him. 29-year-old righty, sub-2 ERA. He strikes out a guy per inning, better control than anybody on the Astros' bullpen. So you don't have to worry about walking, putting the Astros in a tough spot. Sub-1 whip. Only Pressly and Neris have better whips than Scott Barlow. And 2 years of club control after this year as well.
What's the drawback?
There's no drawback. It's really good.
Well, in terms of like the price tag, what's the drawback price-wise?
I think he'd be cheaper than Bednar because he only has 2 years of club control after this. He's 29 years old. Kansas City probably has two pieces that they're looking to trade to get something back. Benintendi and Barlow being up there.
Whit Merrifield now supposedly
out
there, too.
Yeah, he's been terrible this year. He's got like a sub-20 batting average. He's been awful.
Still, he's a solid contact guy that teams are going to look at. I don't think the Astros are one of them. I just worry about Kansas City. All they want is youth, because then they're in the constant rebuild, as all Kansas City fans, as ridiculous as they can be, are going to tell you. That's why it scares me what they'd want in return.
It's interesting that you want relief pitching, but you poo-poo the best two relief pitchers on this
trade market. I didn't poo-poo it, per se, but they don't excite me as much. There's different people with different opinions. That's why this show works.
You like guys that are worse at pitching. Number three on this list, Wilson Contreras of the Chicago Cubs. You're saying, whoa. You don't want the Astros to replace Martin Maldonado. He's so important calling the pitches for this Houston Astro team. It's not to replace Martin Maldonado. It's to replace Yuli Gurriel. I'm moving him to first base, where he's actually pretty good at first base. He can also play some left field for you.
Mm-hmm.
And look, he can also be a backup catcher. So he gets a couple of starts a week behind the dish, plays first base to get some at-bats for Yuli, plays some left field. The dude can absolutely slug. Final year of his deal. Wouldn't be cheap, but I don't think he'd be as expensive as some of the other guys because he is a rental. I love the idea of Wilson Contreras, but not as your everyday
catcher.
Does
Wilson Contreras
more as your
like
everyday first baseman?
That's
Wilson
a big
Contreras
question.
Has no choice.
I get it, but I'm just saying. He's a free agent at the end of the year, so you're not going to have to pay as much unless there's a bidding war, which means you're going to probably have to pay more. The articles I've read have been about the fact that most teams that are trying to trade for him don't want him to play catcher. They want to move him around. They're not sure how he feels about it. I get it. He doesn't have to like it, and it's not for a long term for him. If you don't have to give up that much, look, I'd love to have him. I think his bat is very, very valuable. I think right now he's a better option than a Salvador Perez, but I also think that the Astros aren't as focused on catcher as they have been in the past. But when you mention the fact he can play multiple positions, it's something they have to consider.
Yeah, upgrade at first base. He's your backup catcher right away, too, even though he's not really playing catcher for you every day. And then he can play left field. You got some Brantley insurance. You have some Yordan Alvarez insurance. And it's also a way to give Yuli some at-bats still, because if he's catching 2 days a week, Yuli can play a little bit of first base whenever he's catching. So I'm not out on Wilson Contreras. I'm just not acquiring the catcher, Wilson Contreras. Number two on this list is a name that I've been mentioning quite often. It's Trey Mancini for Baltimore. And apparently Trey Mancini said either yesterday or the day before that he's cherishing every moment he has as a member of the Baltimore Orioles. Trey Mancini thinks he's going to be traded, even though that the Orioles are in the race, believe it or not, in the American League for the wild card. We've talked about him a lot. 270 average, 750 OPS. His swing plays to Minute Maid Park. This baseball savant says he would have 22 home runs this year if all of his at-bats were at Minute Maid Park, and the expected numbers are very high. He plays first base, plays left field, plays right field, not very good defensively anywhere, but can be a body in either one of those positions.
He also fill in even on the designated hitter if Yordan needs rest. So, I've been on board with him. I think it's very key to clarify. I'm not poo-pooing on anything. I'm giving you the devil's advocate perspective in a lot of these, but I think there's nothing that I'm going to give you a devil's advocate on Mancini. What he can be free at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, he's got a mutual option, $10 million, so it's got to be like,
They both have. They both have to say it. He probably knows he's going to be a free agent. Yeah. He can make more money on the open market. But depending on what price you have to give up to get him, I know a lot of teams, which I love, are more focused on the Benintendis of the world. If you can get Trey Mancini, it doesn't cost you too much. He is the ultimate ad for this team.
Number one on my list, which is a recent change. It used to be Trey Mancini. Recently it changed. It is now Josh Bell at the very top of the list. And Josh Bell's been heavily rumored to be the player that the Houston Astros most covet. He'll be 30 years old next month. No big deal. He's a free agent at the end of the year. He's a switch hitter, which is sexy. I love switch
That's
hitters.
Big.
305 batting average. How many guys are hitting 305 in baseball in 2022?
On that team.
Third best in the National League on that team. His on-base percentage, I'm a big on-base percentage guy, just under 390, fourth in the National League, and he's ninth in the National League in OPS as well. He has played some corner outfield. Now, he hasn't done it this year, and he hasn't been that good when he does it. He's also not very good defensively at first base, but with his bat, he's also a Texas kid. He's from Irving. Josh Bell, very top of my list. You add a 305 hitting switch hitter with an 883 OPS to this team. Look out.
That's great. I'd love to have him. I think I'd still lean Mancini over him, but either guy would be fantastic. The price matters to me of what you're going to have to pay to get him, because you know that both of them can get out on the market after this season. But I think that as long as the price isn't too steep, both of those guys should be front of the list on James Click's desk too. And that if you got either one of those guys as an Astros fan, you should be giddy.
All right. Who do you think the Astros should trade for ahead of next week's MLB trade deadline? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. When we come back, we say goodbye to a legend. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, it's Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN at 92.5. Before we do it, we've got to say thank you to Angry Crab Shack, which is up in the Humble area, my former stomping grounds right there on 1960. They brought in some of their delicious food, which I've been meaning to try Daryl's crawfish, because I hear their crawfish there is outstanding. But he brought in a bunch of some seafood boil, which I'm on a seafood diet. I don't know if you knew this.
Seafood, eat food.
That's exactly what I'm on. You don't get a body like this without being on that diet. But he brought in some red beans. He brought in some fish, a little fried fish. The lobster roll, which I can't wait to dive into that. He's got some of the boiled shrimp, the boiled crab, the boiled lobster.
And boiled, right?
What's that?
Bold or boiled?
Boiled. That's what I said.
Did you?
Right. Yeah, I did say boiled. What did you think I said?
Bold.
Man, boiled. I have a southern accent. That's how you say it when you're eating this delicious food. Okay. You go to Angry Crab Shack, you eat some boiled crab. You eat some boiled shrimp. You eat some boiled lobster, and that's the way you do it, because this is your old stomping grounds.
Cayenne pepper?
That's exactly right.
Lemon?
Yeah.
They'll put lemon
exactly.
on the top.
Right. I'm glad you caught it, because whenever I eat this food, I get a little bit of that accent. So thank you very much, Daryl. Angry Crab Shack, if you're in the Humble area, it's right on 1960, which is right near Bush Airport. So if you're heading that way, you're in the Humble area, just plug it into the Waze, plug it into the navigation. Angry Crab Shack, the food is terrific. Make sure you swing on there. Speaking of food, yesterday we have to give a little bit of a shout out to the death of a legend. The Choco Taco is no more. They have discontinued the Choco Taco. Can you believe this? That the Choco Taco is no more.
I can't, because I don't know what the hell it is. I've never heard of it.
What?
I don't know what it is. I don't think that it sounds entirely enticing to me. But I'm sorry for those that lost a loved one or a loved favorite like that. I just don't know what the hell it is.
You've never heard of a Choco Taco?
No, I've heard of an Oppo Taco, but not a Choco one.
I like Oppo Tacos, too. Yeah. I like all kind of tacos, if I'm being completely honest.
I pretty much do, too.
The Choco Taco.
Except for a Choco.
It's kind of like the drumsticks a little bit, except it's made in the form of a taco. Like, you have the wafer that's in the shape of a taco shell.
Okay.
You have the vanilla ice cream that is the stuffing of the taco. And then you have some, like, fudge chocolate stuff that's kind of coated and almost painted over the top of it. Yeah, it's delicious. Who doesn't love the Choco Taco? Brendan, I'm sure you've had a Choco Taco or two in your life.
So I had the same reaction as you did to Joel saying he hadn't heard of it, because I thought everyone had. But they're not that good. It's wildly overrated, and it's not surprising they've been discontinued.
You don't like the Choco Taco?
There's like 95 different versions of ice cream I would rather have.
See, I think that's the bigger thing. It's one thing to say, do you like it or dislike it, but then how much do you like it? Do you like it so that it trumps your first five favorite dessert treats?
See, I love the Choco Taco, but I think I've had it once in the last 3 years, maybe last 5 years. And I've probably had three
maybe
in my entire life.
Maybe you're the poster child for why it's going bye-bye.
You're probably right. Like, I'd never see them at the grocery store. Like, the only time I see them is, like, gas station little sliding freezers. You know what I'm talking about? Sliding top freezers.
Yep.
But, yeah, am I picking it over, like, my Bluebell? Probably not. Am I picking it over the drumstick? Probably
drumstick
not.
Drumstick is, like, just a mainstay of deliciousness.
See, it's very similar to the drumstick, but it's in taco form and probably not as easy to eat as a drumstick, right?
True. True. But drumsticks, ever, and especially the sneaky good portion of the drumstick is that last portion of the cone where they put the chocolate filler in the bottom part.
Yeah.
Drumsticks forever and a day have been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I do love a drumstick. Brendan was talking to us in our pre-production meeting, pre-show production meeting, about ice cream. And you know Brendan has very hot food takes.
Hot.
This one's kind of cold and icy.
Oh, yeah.
What were you telling us again? Well, I forgot what you were saying.
I'm a little bit curious now because I felt pretty good about this. I feel like if you are over the age of 25, ice cream probably makes up more than 50% of your dessert consumption. I feel like it is the only dessert that adults eat regularly.
I disagree.
And maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I also thought maybe it's people in my age range because I swear that's the only dessert my friends eat. But it's the only thing my parents ate growing up too. And
single, alone adults over the age of 25 that just looking for that quick dessert fix. I get it. But I think that when people go out to dinner, they're not ordering ice cream. They're looking at the dessert menu to see the chocolate cake and the cheesecake, whatever they got.
I agree with that. They're not ordering ice cream when they go out to dinner. But like what they keep in their house is almost exclusively ice cream. And based on that belief that I held, I've kind of thought ice cream was overrated. And I like ice cream.
Ice cream's overrated?
That's one of the worst takes you could ever have said in your life.
We always get stuck on this. Ice cream is great. I like ice cream.
How is ice cream overrated if it's great? It's
based on the belief, and my belief is that it is the only.
We need Cody and Ben and Jake to come in and settle these ice cream overrated conversations.
Ice cream overrated, and you just told me that everybody over the age of 25 that's an adult is eating ice cream. So how can it's great? And it's
right here on Twitch. Ice cream is home food. Like in my
is that
mind,
bad?
No. But what I'm saying is, my belief is that it is the only dessert that people keep in their home.
I think ice cream's a combo platter food too, because it not only is good by itself,
It
enhances
ice cream is
cookies
great.
And cake and lots of other things that you put it with.
It absolutely does.
I live in a household in which cookies and cake are like mainstays with my girls, and every single time, or almost every single time, that's going to include some ice cream of some sort too. So I don't know how it can be overrated.
You might be proving his point though that it's eaten by what 50% over 50% of
more
people.
Than 50. My belief,
I would
is
say
that
25
more...
and under, you might have a case because kids go to ice cream a whole lot more.
I see. I don't agree with that.
You just talked about how much you put it on everything.
No, I said it's versatile. It can go into everything, but it's also great by itself. So if you get by itself. Cookies and cream, cookie dough, all the great flavors. But if you're using it even with vanilla to enhance pie and cake and cookies and so many things, I don't know how it can ever be overrated.
Do you guys have ice cream in your home right now?
Absolutely.
I do not.
Joel, do you have any other desserts in your home right now?
Yes.
See, and I think I get no to that second question a lot. And it's what led me to the belief that ice cream was overrated.
But I live with cookieaholics and cakeaholics.
And that's what I am. Yeah. That's basically what this opinion is that cookies are better than ice cream.
Cookies are better than ice cream? Get out of here.
That's basically what this take boils down to.
E says once a week I'll be a little kid and I'll eat a bowl of ice cream and drink a glass of milk. That seems redundant to me.
I don't need the milk with the ice cream. I need ice water when I'm done.
It's called milkshake.
Yeah, but...
you got to like take the step of making the milkshake for it to be worth it, but...
Yeah, 7218, false. Cookies number one, ice cream number two. 7225, get this guy off the air. 6602, would you rather have Oreos and milk or ice cream?
Ice cream.
See, it's hard for me to kick either one out.
You can go cookies and cream and you cover both.
Yeah, that's a good point. I love Oreos dipped into milk like once every year, once every 2 years, but I'm not picking it over ice cream.
Nope, me either.
I'm not picking it over ice cream. And I'm usually not a huge dessert guy either.
The other beauty of ice cream is you can get the pre-flavored ice cream with the stuff already in it, or you can create your own flavors and it doesn't have to appeal to anybody else or worry about it being discontinued. You can take a great bowl of vanilla ice cream and you can throw gummy bears if you wanted to. You can throw graham crackers and some hot fudge. You can do it however you want to do it that appeals to exactly what you're craving, and it is outstanding.
I knew you from the dairy capital of the world. You were going to be offended by this.
Damn right I am.
I'm a little offended for you.
Next thing you do, you're going to kick me in the cheese balls?
We have this problem when it comes to food takes where you don't listen to the words I'm saying. you just like hear part
of it. You said ice cream overrated. You said adults over the age of 25. That's what?
Ice cream is still great. I'm not here to try and tell you ice cream isn't great.
You're saying it's not number one.
For the most part, if you offer me ice cream, I'd probably say yes. But if you offered me cookies instead, I'd also say yes.
So you're saying everybody thinks ice cream is number one, and you don't think ice cream
is one. Exactly.
You're saying that ice cream...
Ice cream makes the top five.
Are you saying ice cream's Quentin Nelson?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I knew you were going to do that.
No, the funny thing is, yes.
But ice cream's valuable. Ice cream is like the most important dessert. It can play all positions, and it plays all positions of importance. It's not a left guard.
It could be a role player. Yeah. It could have a starring role.
It could be a quarterback.
Role. Yes, it could be so many. It could be your franchise, or it could be your left tackle. It could be so many different things.
It's not the Quentin Nelson. It's the Shohei Ohtani.
That's right. Multiple positions played, playing both of them or all of them great. The thing is, if you're going on a date, and you're ordering dessert, you're not ordering ice cream by itself. Your go-to is going to be, do you want to split a piece of that seven-layer chocolate cake? Do you want to go with this or that? But it's also limiting to say adults over the age of 25 are going ice cream, because I disagree with that.
Not when they go out, but in their home, yes, I think that's true.
I think it's the easiest fix. But they're also enhancing it.
6602 says, the new strawberry lemonade bluebell ice cream is surprisingly amazing. My wife brought that up to me the other day, and I poo-pooed all over it. And so that's a little bit of a justice there, I guess.
You didn't like it?
I haven't tried it.
Oh.
I was like, why would you get a strawberry lemonade ice cream whenever you can go to Sonic and just get the drink? Like, I just completely destroyed it.
Because the ice cream part of it enhances it. This makes
texture,
it better.
This texture is totally on my wife's side on that. I'm not going to let her know that. I hope she's not listening. 713-780-ESPN. Are you willing to mortgage the future for the now if you're the Astros? And what's the cost you are willing to pay? We'll ask one of the Wheelhouse men when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
This is usually the portion of the programming where we introduce one of the Wheelhousemen, Cody Stutzen, with us today, with their intro music, which is always the Astros starting pitchers. There we go. I was about to... Like, Brendan just said ice cream's overrated, which is already bad enough. But the fact that he wasn't going to play the one time a week I can listen to Selena during 12 to 3 weekdays, that I was going to... That was really, really worse. But I'm happy that Brendan... You know, fixed a wrong and is playing my Selena.
He said ice cream's overrated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think's the best dessert?
Ooh, the best dessert.
So where do you? Okay, so like this is where you and Jake failed, by the way, in y'all's whole overrated conversation. Y'all never quantified where Quentin Nelson was ranked. Like, how can something be overrated if there's a mystery of where that guy's even ranked?
Oh, people, I thought I did to a good extent, but people widely consider him one of the 10 best football players in all of football, and I would say that he is very much not the 10 best. For me, there's like 30 guys I'd rather have instead of him.
See, I actually agree with you. I just never heard the qualification of where he was ranked. If people are ranking him in the top 10, he's overrated.
Yeah.
Now, that's why with the ice cream conversation, we have to define where ice cream is ranked amongst the list of desserts, you know, pretty much generally speaking. Like if we're taking a huge straw poll here, a huge sample.
So... It's tough because if I was just going to have one dessert a week, I don't know that I would always go for ice cream. But ice cream is the easiest one to dabble in multiple times throughout the week.
See, that's what I said. The convenience aspect of it at home, I get. But I still think that, like, do you think that everybody over the age of 25 is going to ice cream?
No. There's far too many people that enjoy pie as their favorite dessert, and I don't get that. Pie's not my favorite. I like cake. Cake is better for me. I really like cake with ice cream.
That's what I said.
That's a gimmick right there.
Who doesn't like that?
Yeah.
You never ranked where ice cream's at, though.
So you want me to go through every dessert option and tell you
where
ice cream
is? That's the basis of his argument. Whenever he says ice cream is overrated, he is quantifying where ice cream is at and saying that it is not really there.
Ice cream is not my go-to. Ice cream is ahead of pie behind cake. So for me, it's two.
Number two. So ice cream number two.
Is that good enough? Is that rating it enough for you, Jeremy?
Yeah, you have to define what a rating is if you're going to call it overrated or underrated.
So where does Brendan put it? Does he put it like
where did you
seven?
Have it, Brendan? He had it number three.
Okay.
So slightly overrated.
One spot is not overrated. You can't. That's within the margin of error.
But my belief is people call it one.
I don't.
Who's calling? Who's yeah. Who's go to dessert is ice cream?
I think everybody.
I don't think so. We just completely blew that out of the water.
If you're seven, maybe like
25 and older.
Joel, I'm sure your children very much enjoy ice cream.
They do.
Yeah, it's probably their go to dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once you've hit puberty, it's not your go to dessert anymore.
Ice cream?
Correct.
It's your convenience dessert.
It's second.
Right. But Brendan acting like everyone puts it universally one.
Yeah.
Brendan's trying to argue that Herbert's the best quarterback in football, basically, when no one's arguing that. No one's putting ice cream number one.
I wouldn't call Herbert.
7-year-old.
Maybe vanilla ice cream. But
see, he's also saying it's great, but it's overrated. If it's great, I don't think it's overrated.
Well, I disagree with that. Like, well, let's say Hakeem Olajuwon, people ranked him number one. Would you say that's overrated?
No.
Well, Hakeem Olajuwon might not have been a great example because he's in our very fine city.
That's right.
If you were to say Kevin Durant's the greatest basketball player ever, would I be overrating Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
I'd be overrated, but he's still great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just saying the way he phrased it, and like I said, it can be a standalone. You can enhance it yourself with other things, but whether it's by itself or in combination with other things, it's so great, I don't think it's overrated.
What's your favorite ice cream?
Probably cookie dough.
Cookie dough? Any cookie dough, or do you have a specific
chocolate chip cookie dough?
A chocolate chip cookie dough?
Yeah.
Okay. Random?
What's my favorite dessert?
No. Favorite ice cream?
I like vanilla with chocolate syrup over it and some sprinkles.
He's seven.
Or strawberry.
This is the guy you were looking
this
for.
Is seven.
This is the 7-year-old.
There is your guy.
This is the 7-year-old.
Or strawberry. Strawberry is very good, too.
Strawberry ice
those,
cream?
If I'm getting ice cream, it's either going to be strawberry, it's going to be vanilla ice cream with probably some chocolate syrup on top.
What about Neapolitan, where you get the combination platter?
I don't love the chocolate part of it, though.
Really?
Yeah, chocolate's pretty far down on my list. Like, a butter pecan's very good. I like a good coffee ice cream. So, I like a lot of varieties.
Are you 80? But, you're either 7 or 80 years old. I can't tell which one it is. Butter pecan?
Probably
yeah,
both.
I'm not a big butter pecan.
Probably both.
Me off on that.
Yeah, I'm right. It depends on the day. I'm either mine really old or really young.
Mine are cookie-centric ice creams, Brendan. I don't know, but I go cookies and cream or I go chocolate chip cookie dough.
See, I don't like cookies that much. I think cookies are overrated.
I'd rather have cookies instead of pie.
I wouldn't. No.
Really?
No way. You get a little, like an apple pie, pecan pie, a cherry pie, a lemon meringue pie, a key lime pie.
Right out of the oven?
Cookies? No, I'm out on that.
You ever had pie? You ever had, they call them like kitchen sink cookies, where you take like a chocolate chip cookie,
put everything in it,
put like some pretzels in it, some butterscotch bits, maybe you throw just for like a little unique twist, like a potato chip in there?
No, I have not.
It is. Primo. I'll get Mama Suits to make you some kitchen sink cookies.
Right. Twitch is saying...
you, though. None of these two,
yeah,
no.
These
two, no. But Joel, yes.
It's a tad rude.
Foreign guys.
Twitch is saying, ask Cody about his Kiki Hernandez pickup opinion. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, so I saw yesterday that Kiki Hernandez went on the 60-day IL.
Oh.
Or he's on the 60-day IL. I did not know when he was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about versatile trade options. Like, not guys that are stuck at one position. If the Astros trade for him. And I was like, why not this guy? He crushed it in the playoffs. And then Jake was like, he just had a setback. He's not ready until middle of August. And I was like, don't trade for him then.
Yeah,
middle
of August. Sox,
that's not bad, though. Middle of August.
If you still get him back, he's experienced. He's been with the Dodgers. He's been here before, but he had great playoffs runs. I think that, you know, if you know he's going to be tip-top healthy-wise, you could use him. But I think there's better options right now.
Not a starter either.
I Red mean, Sox he's are very guy. Possibly sellers by the end of the weekend.
So whenever I was putting together my list of, like, dudes that could be on the trade market, like, the Red Sox were a question that I had. Because, like, Christian Vasquez would be a great backup catcher option. Like, even if he's starting two of every five games, 40% of it, you know, help Martin Maldonado's workload a little bit. Like, he's somebody that I would monitor. I think Rafael Devers is a pipe dream.
So. Yeah, you don't have enough to get him, I don't think.
Yeah, he's more of a pipe dream. He's got a year of club control after this one, too.
So yesterday, Jim Bowden said the Red Sox, as of yesterday, still view themselves as buyers.
Really?
So it may take a couple of more horrific, horrible beat-down
losses. The Mets hope
not.
The Mets want J.D. Martinez, and teams are lining up for Devers and seeing if
Eovaldi's
out there. Yeah. Bogarts is getting ready to get out.
Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah. I don't think there's. I think there's just been enough.
Move the needle for you.
Enough injury. No, with the injuries and the issues with the Astros and the smack talk and what they've done to them, I don't think there's any interest here.
I want that guy that looks like Rod Beck that plays for the Tigers.
Chafin.
That's what I've been saying. That's who I've been saying.
Yeah.
I want the Rod Beck lookalike guy from the Tigers.
If we're looking at only lefties, he's one of the ones I like. I like five of them, or four of them. I like the puck guy that made Jordan Alvarez look a little bad yesterday. The Okert dude from Miami. and then Mantiply from Arizona. He's
is that
really
how you
good.
Say his name?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
We'll learn it if he gets traded here.
Yeah, exactly. Chafin has a beautiful mustache, though. It is a great mustache.
Then, and then you got a Head and Shoulders commercial built in. If you just you take Stanek and you take Chafin and you let him get Troy Polamalu to give him some Head and Shoulders.
They got that. They got some new stuff at HEB. Let them do an HEB commercial with the hair and mustache products.
There you go.
Is Chafin still rocking the long hair mullet?
I don't know.
I think he used to have long hair and the mustache. I'm not sure he's still
Tigers
doing that.
Tigers are so irrelevant, no one knows.
That's true.
Brennan doesn't even watch him, and he's a fan.
I feel bad for A.J. Hinch. Are you willing to mortgage the future for the right now if you're the Houston Astros?
Yes. My follow-up question to that is, or my follow-up caveat to that is, it depends on exactly what I'm getting when I say yes to that answer.
I think also you have to define the future a little bit, because Blankers and I understood that question a little bit differently, because like Tucker, Yordan, Pena, Fromber, Urquidy, Luis Garcia, Javier, they're all really part of your future, right? Mm-hmm. I looked at it more of like outside of the big league team, like pretty much everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in on that. I'm even in on, for the right guy, dropping one of these guys off the rotation into a conversation.
Well, I mean, if you upgrade your rotation by adding a Castillo, you could part with one of the guys that's currently sure. in your starting rotation.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. I would do something like...
I said I'd trade Hunter Brown for the right piece that makes you... Because you still have so many starting pitchers.
There's only a couple of actual names that enter into the conversation for mortgage the future level of that would get me to say yes that are actually in trade talks right now, which is Juan Soto and then Luis Castillo. And so it's like, for those two, yes. For Josh Bell, no. For Wilson Contreras, no. But for Soto, for Castillo, yeah, I'll do it. I'll have that conversation. Load it up.
There's really nothing in the minor league system, though, that really I'd be worried about trading. Like, Hunter Brown is the best name that's still in the minor league system. You can even throw, like, Corey Lee into that conversation. I know he's currently the backup catcher, but he'd be in Sugarland if Jason Castro wasn't hurt. Outside of Brown, Lee, and maybe Leon, and maybe Einar Diaz, pretty much anybody not in Sugarland, there's really not great pieces that the Astros have in this minor league system. You can thank Robert Manfred partly for that. You can think that the Astros have been drafting at the last, you know, picks of the Major League Baseball draft.
Sure.
So you've also been clearing the cupboard to try and add in the last couple of years.
So the pipeline's not great. So, like, you take the best of whatever is out there. If it means Josh Bell, but I'm giving away the best dude in, you know, single A and double A, yeah, go for it. I don't care.
They made some bullpen additions with some what they thought were maybe quad A guys.
Yep.
Like last year, Brian De La Cruz has had okay success in Miami. He was really hot last year. He's kind of faded a little bit. He's been awful this year. And, you know, the swap out for Maton, you got a big league reliever who's under team patrol, and then you got the Diaz cat who's at AAA now, who's been pretty good. It's not like Miles Straw's tearing the cover off the ball. So, look, I think
if you can somehow get Branham's tweets to entice a team to want Anoli Paredes, go take him.
Here's what I would
say,
though.
I think teams will want him, too.
Jeff Passan brought this up in his article today. Trey Mancini's actually on the block, but in like a Kendall Graveman type situation.
He's not going to be with you long term.
They'll trade you Mancini, but they want a lot of value back, something that can help them right away.
Probably Chaz.
That's a really interesting conversation point.
That change.
We've been kind of kicking Mancini off the trade block because the Orioles have been good, but apparently Passan says he's back.
Well, Jeff Passan, word of God.
Mancini's acting like he's going to be traded too. Some things I saw. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse?
Hypothetical Tuesday at 4:45. At 4:30, real quote or fake quote in Mike Sando's QB tiers. Kevin Eschenfelder at 5:30. And oh, so much.
My guy Esch. Love Esch. All right, thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.